four people came in of Jess's team, and all four of them can know how to practice the Dhamma. Yeah. The Westerners know how to practice now, so us Thais got to pick up our game here. So we're not sure how long we can keep Thailand a Buddhist country, because it's something that's naturally comes and goes. So Buddhism may move to Western countries and be more popular there. It arises and falls like everything else. We have 70 million people in this country. There are only... In order to keep the religion strong here, the Sangha, the community of monks and nuns, they have to be very strong, good practitioners, and there have to be lots of them. And there's less and less all the time, and in the 200,000 that are left, how many of them are actually ordained as a permanent position and really learning the teachings of the Buddha? How many are just doing it because they don't know what else to do, or just doing it for a short time? They're not real holders or maintainers of Buddhism. When there are no more monks, it makes it very difficult for Buddhism to stay. Some people think that Buddhism will last 5,000 years. That number floats around a lot. He says, never mind that number. People just say that to feel good. Buddhism could end right here in this generation. If there aren't enough practitioners that are able to keep Buddhism alive, then it'll fall. Us students, we don't have much power or status in the world. We don't necessarily have the ability to uphold Buddhism as a national religion or anything like that. Us true practitioners don't have that kind of power or position in the world right now. We don't have a king to withhold it or anything like that in the future. So true, genuine Buddhism, which is about mindfulness and wisdom and self-reliance, that is a religion that is hard to keep up. People want angels to help them, want God to help them, aren't thinking that they need to help themselves, don't want to self-development, just following the defilements and the impurities of mind all day long, wanting this and doing that. The highest respect of such people is respect for logic and reason. I'll do this to benefit this way. I'll do that to benefit that way. That's the god of people these days. Self-benefit. But the purpose of being a human being is something much higher than that, and we have to raise the quality of our minds. The real meaning of the word human is one with a high mind. We have to develop our mind so it is one of a higher being, a higher quality, to truly be a human, and not just a person. People go to stay in temples and on retreats. They're not really coming for Dhamma. They're coming to see nice energy or get blessings from this or that being. The people that are able to keep the religion alive have to be those who are of a high quality mind. Buddhism is slowly becoming a religion of just for tourists to, you know, look at the beautiful statues and temples and things like that. true Buddhists have to know what it is that the Buddha taught. What are the principles of Buddhism? The Dhamma teaching that encapsulates all of the Buddha's teachings are the Four Noble Truths. We have to learn what the Four Noble Truths are. They are two pairs of causes and effect, the Four Noble Truths. We have desire, and the effect of desire, the result of desire, is suffering. We have the path, and the result of the path is nirvana. But people in the world instead believe that we're going to be happy if we're able to get what we want. But practitioners understand that as soon as there's wanting, that's where the suffering lies. So it's not that we have to get what we want to not suffer. It's not that when we don't get what we want, we suffer. It's that just the wanting is suffering in itself. We want to see nice things, hear nice smells, have our body feeling comfortable with nice sensations. We want to be thinking nice things that we enjoy and get taken away by. So it's the desire that causes the suffering. But we can't just order the mind to not desire. Don't want this, don't want that, mind. Can't do that. When we think if we get more of this or more of that, we're going to be happy. If we don't get it, we're going to suffer. At the end here, it's just about, I want to feel happy and comfortable. I don't want to suffer. I want this mind to be happy. I want this mind to be free of suffering. So we think that, oh, I need to get this or I need to do that in order to feel satisfied. But we can't order it because the mind is ignorant in this way. It doesn't understand the truth of body, so it wants the body to be happy and comfortable. It doesn't understand the truth of mind, so it wants the mind to be happy and free from suffering. The Buddha taught us to know suffering, didn't teach us to run away from suffering. Everybody in the world is trying to get suffering away. The Buddha is trying to make us learn the truth about life. And what is our life? Our body and our mind is our life. He helps us face the truth of this body and this mind, that they're suffering, they're not happy. We will see that this body is something that is suffering, suffering a lot sometimes, suffering a little at other times. We'll start to see too that this mind, it can be happy, but we'll start to notice that even when the mind has these temporary happinesses, it's basically less suffering. Just in a moment it goes away, and then it gets more suffering when it's not there. It's just lots of suffering or a little suffering, lots of suffering or a little suffering, but it's always suffering. When we understand, this means knowing suffering, and when we understand suffering clearly, there won't be any attempt to make this body and mind happy. Why would we want it? There wouldn't be any, won't be any wanting anymore, because why would we want something that is suffering to be happy? It's suffering. It isn't. It has no ability to be something that it isn't. When we see the truth of this, then the mind will release from body and mind. This is knowing suffering. This is the practice of wisdom that is in the noble path of the fourth noble truth. Wisdom is knowing the truth of nama and rupa, or body and mind. The truth of body and mind, or rupa and nama, are that they are unsatisfactory, they are suffering. And whenever we know suffering, in that very moment, we eliminate the cause of suffering, desire. The mind moves to the bliss of nirvana, or experiences, I should say, realizes the truth of the state of nirvana. It is an unconditioned state. It is free of the aggregates, free of all impurities. Liberation. It is a real thing, nirvana. It is a phenomenon. There are 72 mental phenomena and 18 physical phenomena. 72 and other formations. There are a total of 72 formations in total that can arise, different states that can arise. Nirvana is one of these 72. There are 71, and then there's nirvana as the 72nd. But it the mind has the characteristic of knowing objects. Nirvana has the characteristic of peace. The name of this name of this temple is the Garden of the Peaceful Dhamma. The Peaceful Dhamma is Nirvana. That's the Peaceful Dhamma. The heart that has practiced correctly and understands is released from suffering and experiences Nirvana, experiences this unshakable peace. So our duty with respect to suffering, the first noble truth, is to know it. Our duty with respect to the cause of suffering, desire, is eliminating it. How do we eliminate it? By knowing suffering. The third noble truth is nirvana, or cessation of suffering. It is something that we realize, that we see. And how is that seen? By the developing of the fourth noble truth, the noble path. This eightfold noble path can be separated into three, which are morality, mental training, and wisdom training. When we complete the development of this noble path, then nirvana is realized, true pureness is achieved. The wisdom training is about seeing the truth of the three characteristics of body and mind, that they're anicca, dukkha, and anatta. If there are still the four noble truths in people's hearts, then there'll be those that can teach the noble truths. As long as the noble truths are still alive, then there still is Buddhism alive. If there's just meditation left, then that has nothing to do. Then Buddhism can still be gone. All that's left is meditation. It will become extinct. So let's practice. Let's listen to the practice. Listen to the practice. Practice it and keep Buddhism alive in our own heart. Learn to have correct morality, have correct samadhi. Practicing formally every day for this correct samadhi, and then in our daily life, our eyes and ears and body make contact with the world. Happiness arises no-so as a result of this contact. Unhappiness arises no-so. The mind is good, the mind is bad, no-so. Once the mind sees that the five aggregates are suffering proper, there will be release. Stream enterers, the first stage of enlightenment, are able to experience nirvana, but only for a moment. The second stage of enlightenment, another moment. the third stage of enlightenment, just another moment or two until the fourth stage of enlightenment, the Arahant, where nirvana is a stable fixture. It's there at any time. Nirvana is something, a true phenomenon. It's not just a fable to tell people about, some hope or dream. It's something real that comes through our practice. It's completely useless to have a fable about some beautiful place or state where we don't know the way or practice the way to it. So this is the way. Morality, samadhi training, and wisdom training. Buddhism is very fixed, solid in its cause and effect. We put in the right causes and the results or effects happen. We're not using faith here. You don't have to believe anything. You don't have to rely on anything outside yourself. It's an obstacle when people have too much belief and faith without any experience. The Buddha, the teaching of the Buddha is, come and try for yourself. Come and take a look for yourself. Come back to yourself. Start seeing from within. It's an invitation to come and look within this own body and mind to gain wisdom into them. And then we'll see one day what the release and the complete extinction of suffering is like. There is no self. I'm not hiding anything here. I'm not keeping anything secret or leaving any mysteries. I'm just teaching you the way it is. Other people used to tell me, critics would say to me, you're saying too much, you're explaining too much, it's too hard for regular lay people. But he never believed these critics and even these monks that would criticize. Just teach the people to donate, teach them to be good people, the rest of it's too hard. He never believed that, because who here believes that they've had changes from themselves in the practice? Open your hand, lift your hands if there have been changes in your life from this practice. You see? The Westerners raised their hand, but again there was a delay. So we'll see within ourselves the differences in our lives from the practice. And we'll see how special the Buddha actually is. But don't just believe it by faith. Don't be gullible or naive. It actually does a disservice to the religion. That's not real Dhamma. That's not a real Buddhist. It's just actually losing to the defilements. We get lost in craving and lost in things like that. Can we notice that fighting the impurities, trying to not have the impurities of mind manipulating us, it's not an easy thing to do. We have to be strong. A lot of great practitioners really suffered a lot before they were able to make it to the other side. But the lay people have to keep up Buddhism. Okay, lift your numbers if you'd like to ask a question. Please, not too much. His voice is. So if you really feel you need it, please put your hand up. Go ahead. He's picking and choosing up from the numbers. Put your numbers up. 78, 84, 85. Put it up high if you want it. You guys are good at the back. And 80, you're okay. Okay. Yesterday he was talking in Bangkok. Nobody submitted their homework. He loved it. It was wonderful. Really, sending in your homework doesn't have much purpose. You gotta, otherwise you get too addicted to your teacher. You gotta see for yourself. The world is just a dream. Let's not be too serious about it. At first, it's a tough fight. We're tired in the face of the defilements. We can't beat them. They take us over. Later, the defilements get tired. They can't fight our mindfulness. I feel dazy and dopey. So know you're dazy and dopey. I don't like it. Know that your mind is not equanimous. You're doing fine. Next. I can feel that I have stable samadhi. Good. Keep going. Doing fine. Next. He says, actually, if you just let me do my thing, I could get 100 people done in no time. You see, you're faking it. You're putting out the nice, beautiful, bright. You're making yourself nice and beautiful and bright. That's a phony version of you. Just know that we're creating that. Don't be stuck in such states. You want to speak. Can you see the wanting? Came up in the middle of your chest. Just know you're wanting. All right, fine, speak. She says, I feel so much emptiness. Oh, I don't like that. I don't want emptiness. Just see the body and the mind. Don't get stuck in any state. The body and the mind, you won't, when you're looking at those, you won't see emptiness. Learn within this body and mind. Next. Yeah, you're doing better. You're much better than before. Let's not get lost in some people get lost in a state of pride or admiration. Like, oh, I think the Dhamma is so wonderful, and this is all wonderful, that type of thing. Notice when you get stuck in those. Says usually when we teach Westerners, we start with samadhi. They don't want to start with morality. And you can't start with wisdom either, because Westerners think they're already wise. So you got to start with meditation for them. I think it's something special. They already think they're smart and the morals are boring. There are four main precepts that are absolutely necessary. Taking care of that mouth of yours. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The fifth precept. The fifth precept of no alcohol is about mindfulness. It's not as much about harming others unless it gets too intense. Some people, they have to drink alcohol because their country is too cold. They need the alcohol as a medicine to warm them up. In that case, you can't tell them to not drink alcohol. Watching the mind doing this, doing that, and she feels so tired and then just stops. He says, when you feel tired, don't stop. Do samatha. Repeat a chant or watch the breath. Switch back and forth. Rest for a while. Practice wisdom for a while. Rest for a while. Practice wisdom for a while. This is her case. 88? Is there an 88? No. He says he feels bad for those of us that send in our homework last because we sit there stressing for a long time. The people who send in their homework or submit their homework first, they just get it over with and they can relax for the rest of the time. Okay. So I notice stubbornness. Too much of a case-by-case thing. I'm going to take a one-minute rest. Put up here. You're practicing too seriously, so you're not feeling alert and fresh when you practice. It's not the right quality of mind. You need to relax out of it. Do something you enjoy. See the world as a friendly place. I don't know. He made a joke over here, and then he's looking at the girl. See, you're still being serious. I was making a joke. You gotta get out of that. Just relax. But you want to get out of it now, right? So see the wanting. Yeah, this is what serious people are like. But you're tight and serious, but see that it's varying degrees. It's not stable. Nothing's stable. When you get lost in thought or some dream, you'll see you won't feel tight and serious. It goes away, it comes back. Not liking it? No, you don't like it. 98. All right, write the number 89 down. There's somebody. He says, write the number 89 down. There's somebody who's really wishing that, with number 89, that wants to talk to me. When the mind is aware, we don't try to hold the awareness. Just see what's wrong. Don't try to fake or create what's right. The mic's really making the rounds today.
First, there's lots of stress in the mind, and I've waited to ask my question. I had very little sleep from jet lag, and survives in a fairly sleepy haze that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And can this sleepy haze or sleepiness be used as my object of meditation through the day?
เขาเขาบอกว่าเครียดตั้งแต่รู้ว่าจะส่งกันบ้านนะครับ Can you see the stress by itself when you're waiting to ask the question? It comes by itself. If you're able to see that, then that means you can practice just fine. Because all phenomena.Are similar to the phenomenon of stress. Happiness comes up, it comes by itself. Stress comes up, comes by itself. Fear comes up, happens on its own. Greed comes up, happens on its own. Just come to see and know the phenomena that arise.On their own. And we know them or see them not so that we can keep this phenomena and push that phenomena away. We see them and know them so that we can see that they just come and they go. They come by themselves and they go by themselves.If you're able to see this happening, well then that's all you need to do in order to practice the Dhamma. When our practice gets more subtle, we'll see that all these phenomena that arise and fall are coming because of sense contact. The senses make contact with the world, and then the mind, the heart, wavers.This is about knowing or studying oneself. ครับเขาบอกว่าใช้คงง่วงมากครับแต่ละวันเราทัวร์หนักเขาบอกว่าเขาคิดว่าเขาใช้ความง่วงเป็นอารมณ์กรรมฐานได้ไหมครับ He says you can use sleepiness but it's not an easy thing to do. Our mindfulness has to have quite a lot of power, but we can see the sleepiness comes up more, goes a little less, comes up more, goes a little less. We see its impermanence. But if we get lost in the sleepiness and then fall asleep, then it may be better to get up and walk. It doesn't have to be a formal meditation, walking meditation. You can just walk around, doing whatever.The importance isn't the position or the technique that we're walking in, just having mindfulness. 85. Give it them. Oh, I need. Everybody's. Everybody's so interested in these Westerns.
The
he says you're doing, he doesn't know what you asked, but he says you're practicing well now. แค่ถามว่าหลวงพ่อบอกว่าควบคุมตอนนี้รู้สึกว่าจะดีขึ้นนะ Yeah, it's a little better now. You see, you feel awake and fresh. But let's not try to keep this awake state. Okay? It'll go away and we go back into thoughts and dreams and that's fine. After that, we just know the feelings that arise in our heart.But we know as the observer, as the watcher, not slipping down into the phenomena that we see. So now
The mind isn't the staple observer. So you're sending the mind out, spreading out. Take a breath and be aware of the breath now. Good. Better. Can you see that now in a moment of or different? The mind went outside. Now it's back. But let's not force the mind to stay there all the time. So the mind is out, we know so. The mind comes back, we know so. 84. Can't you see your face? Can you stand up just for a sec? You can sit now. เขาพยายามดูการเคลื่อนไหวในชีวิตประจำวันแล้วก็รู้ตัวเป็นคนที่ฟุ้งซ่านค่อนข้างจะมากชอบมีทุกกลับไปดูร่างกายก็เป็นวิธีหนึ่งที่เขามีทุกที่เขาทำดูกายเคลื่อนมองกับเขาไหม Yeah, you keep watching the body like that. Right, the body is the home and the mind is the owner of the home.So just watch the home for a while and soon we'll see the owner. So we see the body moving and then we'll see that the mind is really busy. We just know that the mind is busy and then we just keep noticing the body moving and then the mind may become peaceful, we just know that it's peaceful. 80. Let him see your face.
My question is, there's a big shift in the last 6 days that I've been in Thailand, and I feel positive. Mm-hmm. And I do samadhi at home, but mm-hmm. I have a lot of anxiousness mm-hmm. and anxiety. And I sometimes fear, oh my goodness, I'm going to lose all these great moments that I felt.
Okay. เขารู้สึกว่าใน6วันที่อยู่ที่นี่เปลี่ยนแปลงไปเยอะครับ Yeah, you've changed a lot in the last 6 days. Not practice, but you've changed a lot, but we're not practicing.So that the mind is good. We're not practicing so that the mind is happy. We're not practicing so that the mind is peaceful. We're practicing so that we can know ourselves. So this heart of ours is changing all day long. เขาบอกว่าเขากลัวตอนกลับบ้านพอที่บ้านเป็นคนโลกเครียดอะครับโลกเศร้าเพราะกลัวกลับบ้านก็จะกลับไปสู่ Let's not be afraid of sadness or stress. Just see it directly, right there when it arises, and it'll drop off on its own. He says you're doing great. Your practice is good.
Thank you.
89. Let's move the mic. Move the mic. Down.You feel good. We don't have to translate for this person.
I can't hear her, but I can tell she's stressed.
The
Never mind all that, just notice the body, feel the body breathing, it's breathing in, it's breathing out, see it in a relaxed way. You're not able to watch your mind right now, you're not able to do that effectively, so just notice the body breathing. And see, this body isn't us, it isn't you. Okay, we can go home now.